He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, we're in Nevada, the middle of nowhere, actually the most decadent place in the world. What do you think about Las Vegas, Trace?
Well, I have been coming to Las Vegas. I'm 50 now. I've been coming since I was 19 years old. And it's not as classy as it used to be. Mind you, it's very beautiful, the downtown strip, but it's kind of lost its touch of class. Nonetheless, we have been here over 2 weeks now, and we did hit the strip one night. I had some girlfriends come in from Vancouver, and that was enough for me. We are down $12.
I guess if you like the heat, this is the place to be. It is hot, and the elevation that we enjoyed in Colorado is not here. So it stays hot. I think one night, I think it was like 1 in the morning, and it was still like 95 degrees. The humidity, though, is very low, which is good. It makes it more bearable. And of course, being out by the lake, which we'll talk about later on, made it even better. So we are here, and this is He Said, She Said. So Trace, what's cooking?
Well, the usual is cooking, and I don't have a recipe this month because I just like to talk about how everyone that we meet on our tour has asked us, how do we stay lean on this trip? And how do we find good and healthy food on this trip? Because apparently it's impossible to stay well and healthy and lean if you live in an RV.
Well, of course, we know that's not true. And what has more to do with our weight is our state of mind, because as we think, so we do. As we think, so we eat. And a lot of people today are eating the wrong food because their state of mind is just not in the right place. So when you choose the food that you do eat, you've got to think more than just in terms of how good it's going to taste. And I think that is the overriding theme that I'm seeing around people as we travel throughout the United States and, of course, back home. I think it's anywhere, pretty much. If you don't focus on the macronutrient and the micronutrient content of food, you're just not going to have control over your weight.
Now, everyone knows that both you and I are endomorphs, which means it is possible for us to gain body fat. We are not just lucky, like a lot of people think. Now, we find it a bit amazing that people ask this question, and we have discussed this before in the SNU. But there are plenty of places to shop and buy decent food. I mean, every corner has a huge Vons or Smith's or Ralph's or a huge big stores. And we do find good, healthy food. We also go to health food stores, we go to Trader Joe's, and we go to Whole Foods. Every time we shop, we don't always find organic, but we do try to buy organic as much as we possibly can. So I just want to talk a little bit about what our everyday basic routine would be. And it starts off with, we usually get up around 7 in the morning and we always have a big glass of water. Then a bit later, I make a freshly squeezed grapefruit, orange, lemon, and lime juice. Then we'll have like a nice organic cup of fresh ground coffee. Then after that, we have a protein shake with our vitamins. Now, this all happens in about a 3-hour time period. And then we go off to the gym. So pretty much we have a liquid diet before we train. And then when we go to the gym, which is usually about a 2-hour stint, which includes training, shower, and shaving, and I drink about 1.5 liters of water. Well, I always drink 1.5 liters of water. I take 500 mils and I drink 3 of them, and I usually add a electrolyte. Corey drinks a 1 liter of water with an electrolyte drink. So after our workout, we're talking about probably maybe 2 in the afternoon, we have had just liquids.
Yeah, that's the advantage of the protein shake, the fact that it is liquid. I think that when you get away from the shakes, it's more likely that you're going to gain body fat. I think that the liquid shakes makes it easier to absorb the nutrition, to get the amino acids, the essential fatty acids. It's a very streamlined approach to nutrition. When you eat more solid food, it's more likely you're going to overeat too many carbs or get too much fat in the animal proteins. So I can see also that hydration plays a huge role in staying lean. And a lot of people should be drinking water and fluids rather than packing in food. In fact, most people aren't really hungry. They're thirsty, but they replace their thirst with food.
So by the time we finished our workout, I am absolutely ravenous and ready to tear anybody's head off. So Corey really behaves himself after that. And I need food. I need something to chew. So no more liquids for this kid. So we get back to the RV. And for example, we'll have, let's say, fresh hummus with raw veggies first, and then we'll have a protein such as a whole roasted chicken from Whole Foods, or a rare steak, or tuna tataki, or lightly scrambled or poached eggs with a protein mixture and spices. We eat plenty of veggies and protein, and this fills us up. After we have that a little bit later, we're full and we do some work, and then we'll have maybe another cup of coffee, and later on in the day we'll have another protein shake, and we always drink the filtered water throughout the day, nothing else. For dinner we'll have a huge green salad with a mixture of different veggies in it. Now this is the key. This is a major key in one's life to staying lean. Eat your huge salad before you eat the rest of your dinner. Then you're not so hungry for all the heavy-duty carbs. Then we'll have a really nice lean protein. And not all the time will we have a rice or a yam or some starch, because we don't do that every day. We have to remember that we are sitting most of the time. I've never sat so much in my entire life, and I should have a booty on me the size of Las Vegas.
I thought you did, dear. Anyway, the management of your weight is always rationally reduced to body composition, body fat percentage, and lean mass. You feed the mass in your mind that needs to be fed. You don't feed the fat. So we're focusing on lean mass. Make sure that you get your protein, grams per kilogram of lean mass. Then your essential fatty acids, which are often in the appropriately chosen fish and wild game. Remember that your commercial meats are not going to have any essential omega-3 fats. And of course, in the protein shakes, if you're not taking protein shakes, you're really missing the boat. And I'm always after Tracy to get that post-workout shake in, but she's so hungry, she just dives in to the solid food. I prefer to have a pre and a post-workout shake. I don't always do it, but I try to do it. That's my game plan. And usually we have an afternoon shake or a nighttime shake. So I think the shakes really fill in the gap. I just can't stress the importance of the protein shake, because you can control the macronutrient distribution of the food and know exactly what you're putting in your body that way.
So when it's time to wind down for the evening, we'll have another small, just a small protein shake, and then we take our nighttime vitamins. And that's it. This is what keeps us lean and mean, and this is our regular diet. Now, we do have the odd little treat now and then. Now, remember when we say, don't let your treats become your staples. We'll search out a health food store and buy maybe some dried fruits or a cookie or a muffin that is clean. And what I mean by clean is whole grains, no sugar or preservatives. And this is a rare treat for us. Maybe once a week we'll do something like that. And when I feel, because I don't eat a lot of carbs, which I mean like refined carbohydrates, period, but or rice or yams or oatmeal. But when I feel like I'm really getting tired and I get a little listless sometimes, I think to myself, and Corey says, Tracy, you need some carbs. So then I'll make some rice, or maybe I'll have a pita wrap or something like that. And all of a sudden, I just perk right up. So that is a sample of our staple diet.
And I'm thinking starch control. You know, you just can't have starch at every single meal if you're fighting the battle of the bulge, and you shouldn't, because you don't really deserve it or need it. If you've got fat to spare and lose, you have to spare the starch, spare the grains, spare the pasta, spare the muffins, and focus on green leafy salads, raw vegetables, natural dressings, lean meats. You got to eat lean to get lean. To eat lean, you have to think lean. It all starts with your thoughts. And I'm going to be stressing this more and more as I begin to see in people that the real struggle has nothing to do with the food or the training. It has to do with their state of mind. But anyway, let's move on, Trace. That was a great What's Cooking. Who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Jay Rob. And the interview that you had with Jay Rob was like you and he were sitting in a living room. It was so calm and so relaxed. Never quite heard an interview like that before. So it was just, he just sounds like a wonderful person. Jay really has a great product line, and he's got all the paraphernalia to go with it, along with the books and the hats and the pens and the shaker cups. He doesn't miss a beat. He is a bodybuilder, and he truly understands what a body needs to stay well and healthy, and he looks really good, too.
Yeah, I kind of think he's an ectomorph, and I'm going to make a comment about this because the general population doesn't even know what that means. And they think that everybody who is lean is healthy, and of course we know that that's not true. It would be better to be fat and conditioned and well-fed than to be extremely lean and deconditioned and undernourished and malnourished for a lot of different reasons. But optimally, let's face it, excess body fat or a lack of lean mass, they're both the same thing. They take us away from the middle, from the center, from the place that we need to be to celebrate wellness and optimum health. I think Jay, as an ecto, maybe he doesn't tell the truth about his state, because sometimes when professionals come across as speaking about a certain topic with knowledge and expertise, people don't realize that they're lean. If you're an ecto, they're lean without ever trying to be lean. They don't get a gold medal for being lean. They've never been on a diet. They don't struggle with their weight. They undereat. If anything, they need to eat more food. So a lot of health professionals out there, when you look at them, try and get in your mind and decide in your mind, is this guy an ecto or is he an endo? And if he's 50 or 60 or 70 and he's an endo and he's lean, he is doing some really darn good work. Because everyone else who is an endo is letting themselves go, basically, and not controlling their appetite, not controlling their behavior, and not doing what they're telling you to do as a health professional. So that's one of the first things that I look at in experts who are telling us how to live, how to eat, and how to train.
I'd just like to say thanks so much to Jay for a great interview. And, you know, It's really true. I've met so many people who are 50 and over, and they just say, I'm too old to worry about it anymore, you know, about what I look like and staying well and healthy. And it's really quite a shame. And I'm excited to be my age, 50 years old, and looking good, looking well. But I work at it. Believe me, this doesn't come naturally. My whole family has weight issues, thyroid problems, yada, yada, yada. So it really does work. Don't let anybody tell you that the diet, the exercise, and the supplementation does not work, because it does.
Okay, good. So we look forward to more guests, and we're finding new people as we travel and tour the United States, some really outstanding people, looking forward to their interviews. So let's move on to Highway to Health. What is our new update, Trace?
Gosh, we just do so many things. Let's see now. We ended up, our last SNU was in Loveland, Colorado, and with the Lakeshore Boys, and how you played horseshoes, really getting into horseshoes. Like, I've never seen guys who are really into horseshoes as much as they are. It was fantastic. They've got the lights, and they rake, and they dig the hole, and it's amazing. They had wonderful music. Everybody is a musician in that house, and we just play their CD that they gave us and just reminisce the great times. And we actually telephone them, and it's really nice because we give them a call, and they're really happy to hear from us. We really like that.
That's right. We actually phoned Brian last night. He was in Wyoming with Jim, and they were on a painting job. But what a pleasure to develop relationships with new people who are simply outstanding in the quality of their character and their makeup. And we are building relationships that are going to stand the test of time like the pyramids. These are lifetime friends that we're building. You know what? You connect with people when you're true to yourself and you walk around in the state of mind that you really are, and you're a nice person and you're a kind person. Guess what? You will attract those kind of people, and you will build an empire of like-minded people that will add to the quality of your own life. But the Lakeshore Boys... boy, I'll tell you what, we just found out that one of them is getting married, and they invited us back to Loveland, Colorado, and we will be there. I wouldn't miss that for the world. But we did decide to head north to Cheyenne, which is a cool little town. And Wyoming, we haven't had a chance to get through it completely because we decided to exit stage left, and we went back to Salt Lake City. And there we connected with some old friends and business colleagues, and we had a seminar.
Yes, we had a seminar, and we saw Debbie and Guy Perry and their family, and I made spaghetti and turkey meatballs. Now, we also saw Debbie and Guy's new home that they're building, and it's absolutely spectacular. And there's been a lot of thought gone into that house. It's going to be beautiful. And apparently we have a bedroom waiting for us, right, Deb? Yes, we did another lecture in Salt Lake City. Actually, it was in American Fork that we did the lecture, which turned out great. We had some really high-quality people, triathletes there, very interested in what Corey had to say. But... one of the spectacular highlights of this trip was we went back, yes, we went back to Antelope Park, which is on the Great Salt Lake. And Corey, again, had his buffalo experience. The buffalo came right, a lone buffalo, because there's 600 wild bison roaming this island. And this lone buffalo came around 5 o'clock in the morning at our doorstep, and Corey was like a kid on Christmas morning. And I think you all know what I'm talking about, a kid on Christmas morning. Corey woke me up out of a dead sleep to see the buffalo. Got lots of pictures, and I'll let him talk a little bit more about this.
Well, it is definitely one of the most precious places I've ever been. And I've been around the block a few times, but Antelope Island, even most of the people in Utah that know of it haven't been there. And of course, what we've experienced and what I've seen, because I've talked about it to people, is that most people have never even heard of this place. But it's this incredible island, one of 10, in the Great Salt Lake. And driving out to it is like going back in time. It really is incredible. It's the beauty, the sunsets, the reflection of light as it glimmers off the Great Salt Lake is incredible. And, you know, the buffalo experience was phenomenal, and I just love the animals. And, you know, I think that our connection to animals, we've talked about this before, is more than just a point of discussion, that there's a lot that we can learn from the animals that we see ourselves in. But the thing that really turned my crank on this particular experience was we decided to go out into the lake this time. The last time we were there, we didn't actually go out swimming in the lake. And it was wonderful because I've been to the Dead Sea in the Middle East, and I have floated there. But I'm telling you, the Great Salt Lake has a higher concentration of sodium. And Tracy and I were floating in it like air mattresses, and the sun was beating down, and we're just like bopping around. Reminded me of going fishing when I was a kid. And we used to use those little bobbers, and I just felt like a bob going up and down in the water. You can't sink. You just spread your arms out. You put your feet straight out, and you just become like an air mattress floating along. You can breathe and float there for hours. So that was a really cool experience. And if you stick your finger in that water and suck on your finger, man, you are going to – it's going to taste like French fries like you wouldn't believe. It's so salty, it's unbelievable.
And Corey, as we were watching a beautiful sunset at Antelope Island, he said to me, "Tracy, this is our spot." I didn't know the guy had a romantic bone in his body, but I guess he does. Nonetheless, Antelope Island is our spot. Then we headed down South Utah to Zion National Park. Well, this is another wonder of the world. It's absolutely gorgeous. Corey was going cuckoo over the beautiful rock structures.
Yeah, looking up, instead of like with the Grand Canyon when you're looking down into the hole, this one is a canyon when you are looking up at these incredible rock structures. They're like, I think, 1,700 feet high, but they're configured in such a way that makes you kind of wonder how it all happened. And it's really quite incredible because we went and saw a film on the history of these formations. And if you haven't been to Zion National Park, put that on your to-do list, on your bucket list. We didn't get a chance to go to Bryce Canyon. You have to drive through the tunnel. We didn't have a chance. We're going to go there another time. And Moab and the southeastern part of Utah. This is in the southwestern part, Zion National Park. I've never heard of it as a Canadian, and I think it should be ranked as the eighth wonder of the world. But you drive in there, we parked in an RV camp, and it was just stunning to wake up and see these monstrous rock structures gleaming in the sun. They're red. And you go for these tours, and I'm telling you, you've never seen anything like it. It's just awe-inspiring. There's a lot of artists and people that are getting off spiritually and emotionally and mentally just by sucking in the raw beauty of these monsters. I'll tell you what, it's just mind-boggling.
Yes, Utah is a beautiful state. There's no doubt about that. Then we headed over to Nevada, and we went to Lake Mead, which was really cool, and we checked out Hoover Dam, and we parked our RV, and we met this couple next to us in our RV, and we're planning to go meet them again at Lake Mead this weekend, and they have a boat, so that should be cool. We're going to ride and cruise on Lake Mead, so that'll be fun. We're going to potluck our dinners together and really enjoy ourselves. They're really, really nice people, and the funniest thing, her name is Gail and Sean. And Gail says, you know, I don't like people, she says, but when you came over to us, because we were both eating our dinner on our picnic table, and she says, when you came over to us, she goes, I knew I liked you right away. So it's really nice when people are happy to meet you.
The best way to meet great people is spontaneously, naturally, and in the flow of things, like the energy of chi. But, yeah, Lake Mead was cool. Again, another example of a beautiful, stunning sunset where when the sun goes down in the west, it casts a weird kind of a shadow on the volcanoes and the desert mountains, which again are completely different in terms of landscape from, say, Zion or other parts of the United States. And it causes the mountains to glow in different shades of color. And I think that one of the great things about what we're doing is the value that relates to the tranquility and peace of mind on my soul, in my heart, and in my mind. And I think that you can get caught up in the city and lose touch with nature. And that is the part that stresses people out, makes them go mad, is that they do not have the time they need to walk in the parks, to look at the water, to look at the environment, and to get connected to the beautiful earth that we live on.
Well, Lake Mead, when I first got there, I said, it looks like Mars, whatever Mars looks like, what I've seen pictures of Mars or movies from Martians, but the first thing I thought of, it's just so unreal looking. Then what did we do? Well, then Corey got a new computer, so he's all excited about his new computer because he has a webcam on there, and we can talk to our family and friends, and we can see them. And that's kind of cool. That was fun. But I think to this point, everybody, I think that Corey and I, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like Colorado State the best.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick one, but I guess we do, and Colorado in terms of the overall impact. But then, Trace, we haven't been to every state. We've only been to 10. We've got another 40 to go. Of course, we've been to Hawaii, haven't been to Alaska. So then there's the eastern seaboard. Then there's the Gulf of Mexico and all the states that line up beside and on that. And then everything in the middle in between. So we have got a lot more to see. And very excited that working with Clayton Naturals and Clayton College, the new sports line, the Corey Hawley signature line, is almost ready. The website is claytonnaturals.com. You may or may not see anything if you hear this soon, but soon you will see details, how to order and buy. We're going to have a discount structure for CSNA students and, of course, for Clayton students. But I'm very proud to work with Clayton Naturals and Clayton College because the quality of this line and the raw materials, the formulation, the efficacy, all of that stuff is going to be spot on, right on, and Trace and I are going to be very, very happy to not only promote it, but to use it and to put it into our bodies because we know exactly what it is, where it's coming from, and what the intention of the products are. So lots of very, very positive things going on in our tour. Still just enthralled with the magic of being free and nomadic and more like the pioneers that created the freedom that all of us enjoy in North America.
And something that I'm terribly excited about is Corey, on his own free will, I did not say a word, I promise, he wants to get one of those big honking rigs. You know, I don't know, they're like a great big Greyhound bus. So all on his own, he thought of that. So I would definitely be a very happy camper if that happens.
Okay, so that's our tour update, and we're looking forward to more coming at you. Trace, we're getting near the end. What you reading right now?
Okay, I got to tell the truth. I haven't read anything this month because I have been watching movies and also catching up on Soprano series right from the very beginning, the first volume of the series. And what we do is we discuss in graphic detail the setting, we discuss the character and each individual character and what their motives are, and we really get into it in graphic detail. So that's the part, that's what we've actually been doing.
Yeah, I always fit myself into a character, and I love The Sopranos. I know it's violent. I've always loved violence. I've always loved watching, and I think that it, in my mind, it depicts the state of the world. This is a violent world, and I'm talking about the natural part of it. I'm just talking about walking into a jungle in Africa. If you don't think this world is violent, let's see how long you'll last without a knife or a gun in a jungle in Africa. So it is eat or be eaten, and then there's an element of this in real life with people. There doesn't have to be. I think humans can get along if we work at it. I think we can put down our arms, our guns, our swords, our spears. I think we should stop killing each other. But ultimately, I think that when we watch movies that we connect with, there's something to be learned, and I think it's a great idea to discuss the impact of that movie on how you really think, other than just vegging out and catching it for pure entertainment value. So let's bring this to a conclusion, dear. What is your final word?
My final word is by Confucius. Never contract friendship with a man that is not better than thyself.